Everyone, it's Farrell Elliott, your commissioner, along with the Oracle from the western part of the state, making his home in Madisonville, Kentucky. The original Cash Money brother joining you for our Monday night update. It's been a while since we've been with you. Schedules have not allowed Sean to join us and have not allowed us to connect, but there's so many questions about when Sean's coming back. When are we going to have more podcasts? And you will be seeing and hearing more podcasts as we move through weeks 14 through 16 in our championship round. Let's welcome in now the Cash Money brother, who has vaulted ahead in one of the auction leagues and is enjoying success in the KFFSC this year. How are you tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great.
I don't know, but I'm glad to have you help me figure it out. I'll tell you somebody that's doing really, really good. Jeremy Brock sits in the championship position right now, the number one spot. The Fosse Dog, he has appeared live with us this year for the KFFSC draft. He drafted very aggressively. He played very aggressively yesterday. And he is complete, and he sits in the lead. We've got another first-year player knocking on his door that posted over 200 points. Tony O'Connor, who hails from Paxton, Massachusetts. And Tony is not complete. He trails the Fosse Dog by 9.8. He has a player very familiar to the Cash Money brother, Jarvis Landry, going for the Browns tonight. Jarvis Landry has found a late season success working with an improved Baker Mayfield. Sean Ligon, does Tony move into that number one spot? He needs more than 9.8 from Jarvis Landry tonight.
I mean, that's a pretty safe floor. Jarvis Landry always seems to be good for at least 5 receptions. You got to figure he can squeak out at least 50 yards. And in the last couple of weeks, Jarvis Landry's been on absolute fire. It seems like he's really coming on at the right time this season. I understand he's a lot more healthy now than he was earlier in the year. So, yeah, I think he's got a pretty good opportunity to put some space between himself.
He's healthier. The quarterback's doing better. The schedule is more favorable. A lot of things have come together for Cleveland at the right time. Just like fantasy managers, NFL teams are the same way. It takes a lot to complete a full year and to be perfect every week. We watch some teams now, Sean, that are coming together, and some that have struggled like we have never imagined. And that struggling like we have never imagined affected a number of our fantasy players yesterday. Justin McCord, who we omitted, my apologies to Justin, we omitted him from the last mailer that we sent out, which directed to all the past champions that were in the top 149 playing for the championship. Justin had a sense of humor about it. He says, well, you know, I'm at a position to attack the 93rd spot. So, but Justin did attack. He put up 150, good score, not a great score, but a good solid score. That 150 took him from the 90s into the 40s. This year's average to make the league as a wild card, 47 of them to make the league as a wild card, the average was just over 140 points. That's down now. Sean, we can talk about different players that might be rising and players who may be regressing. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about tonight. We sit here with Lamar Jackson, and we have to go into our list. We have to go all the way down. Yes, the 57th team, Jeremy Royer, has Lamar Jackson along with the Baltimore defense. He trails by 70 points. Lamar looked in our last effort like he was ready to take on the opposition with his feet again. And perhaps he had to without his tight end Andrews and without a player that he loves to direct the ball to, Willie Snead. Lamar with his schedule, rest of the way out. Interesting game tonight against the Browns and two more. What's he going to do tonight, and what's he going to do for Jeremy Royer and the other Lamar owners as we move through the next 3 weeks?
It doesn't really surprise me that you have to go all the way down that far to find Lamar as a quarterback on a playoff team, because it's just very difficult. Lamar's draft is so high. When you put a quarterback in that high in your draft, everything else has to fall right, at least in my experience. Right. I've never had much luck with it. Having said that, Lamar's been a big disappointment this year. He's not nowhere near that you know, living up to that draft position. But, I mean, if you got him now, I would think he would have a pretty good game tonight. He looks like he's healthy again. And like you said, it's all about whether he wants to run or not, or whether he does run or not. And you just got to hope that Cleveland shuts down their passing game and forces him to run. That's what's good for fantasy managers.
The passing game has almost been non-existent. Now, some of that's been injury related. Some of that has been weather related. I failed to look at the weather report for tonight in Cleveland. I'd like to see this game. We know it's going to be cold. I'd like to see it play wind free and rain free. These are the kind of games that you want to see in the best of elements, and you want to see the athletes. It's hard to see them when they're going up against the elements. We move further down the list. Ralph Chauvin. Now, Ralph is a very interesting guy, Sean, and he's spent a little time with him. I really dig this guy. He's an older cat like me from down in Tampa, Florida. He just bought an island. Now, you know, I don't think he's got a private airstrip or anything on it. But, you know, who doesn't one day think they want to buy an island? So we've talked to Ralph. He may have a new home on this island to place his trophy. He's got a shot at it. He's got several teams in the main event. He's 61st, but he's got 180 player minutes left tonight. Tucker, Baltimore D, Jarvis Landry. So he's got the kicker in the defense with the Ravens. Good combination. Interesting stack, don't you think? The kicker in the defense. Yeah. And Jarvis Landry is here with him too. He's 70 points out, and he's in the 61st position. So you separate, John Rosick in the 52nd position, Baltimore D and Jarvis Landry. Probably our highest team that is not complete. Local guys, Dukes and Patton, really, really love those guys. They're 25 out of the top. They have Mark Andrews. And, you know, Mark Andrews is anxious to return to health and anxious to return to the field. He could have a big game tonight and really push Dukes and Patton up the list. So if you take a look at Ralph's team, and this is what I want everybody to be conscious about. If you make your careful lineup decisions and you put points on the board, we are probably looking at our closest competitive, most teams still alive as we approach the afternoon games in week 16 and the Monday night games in week 16, we're probably going to have more guys actually in a position to win the championship than ever before. Do you get that kind of vibe?
I do, and I don't think it's not only on your side, the other places I play, you know, around the country as well. It's a very tight race this year. There's not a lot of huge separation. I don't know what the reason for that is. Obviously it's been a strange year, and people have probably had to play the waiver wire and play streaming matchups more than ever. So maybe there's just not that many dominant teams out there this year.
Well, you know, if you're in the top five of any contest, you got to feel good about it. We've already talked about Jeremy Brock, the Fosse Dog, and Tony O'Connor in second place. Ira Berman, he's complete. He's currently in third. Ira's been at the top of our leaderboards for a long time. Here's one that warms my heart. Get it at Porky's. Christian and Hicks, flirting with the championship. All these years of playing, these guys are in the top five. Scott Christians, James Hicks. I facilitated their draft this year from start to finish, and I was impressed with it. And I thought they came prepared, and they obviously have done a good job throughout the season. They're currently in fourth. And our pal Bobby Sangerman, he is complete at the number five position. Bobby was in the top five finishing last year, and he was in no way satisfied, which is one thing I love about him. He was no way satisfied to be fifth. He'd take it, but he was no way satisfied. And so from 1 to 5, we are only separated by 21.9 points.
Yeah.
All right, we talked a little bit about Baltimore. We like the defense. If you have Andrews, you're going to start him. If you have Lamar, you're going to start him. Talk to me about that backfield. We talked earlier in the year about it. We couldn't quite figure it out. What do you think about it now, and what do you want to do?
Well, on all my teams this year, it was 80% invested in J.K. Dobbins. 80% of my teams this year, he just kept falling to me. I really liked him. I've been disappointed that he hasn't been involved in the passing game more. I mean, he's been, very, very. They just don't throw the ball to the running back very much. It's just all there is to it.
Nope.
Lamar.
They don't throw the ball to anybody very much. No, except Andy.
No. I still think he's by far the most talented running back there. I don't like this three-man rotation. But much like Jonathan Taylor, sooner or later, talent's going to win out. And I do think they're starting to phase out, Mark Ingram. And now it's down to more just him and Edwards and Mark Ingram every now and then. So, I don't love it for this year, but going forward, I do like Dobbins. Dobbins, though, super touchdown dependent because, fantasy, he can have a great game in real life and have 120 yards. But if he doesn't score, it's only 12 points.
Yep, that's exactly right. We experienced that with Cam Akers, who had a terrific game this week. And it was more than 12 points. But, when you don't find that end zone, it's it can be difficult for the running back position.
If you don't get that.
on the other side of the ball, I started Baker Mayfield in the game this year because I had to. That was all the waiver wire would allow me. I think he got 6.7 points. I think you can manage Baker Mayfield by keeping him in the pocket. People say, oh, you can't let him get out of the pocket. You can't let him run. You can't let him get outside. Well, I think with the type of defenders that Baltimore has, keeping him in the pocket and making him go through the progressions is not that difficult of a chore. I could be wrong, but I don't think it is. And so when he does that, he has to hit Andrews. He has to hit Landry. He has to hit who's his other receiver there, the kid with the hyphenated name, Peoples. He has to rely on some players that are further down the depth chart. I haven't seen him be that successful doing it. I only see him being successful against teams that are struggling on defense. Baltimore, despite the 11 that they run out there, they're never really struggling on defense, are they, Sean?
No, I don't think there is. I don't think you defer them as much as you have in past years. I believe you can run on them. So I do think that probably favors, Chubb and Hunt to have some good numbers tonight. But it'll all depend on the weather. You talked about earlier about weather affecting Baltimore some. I don't think any team or any quarterback's been affected by weather more than Cleveland. They've had a ton of games where the wind's been a big factor this year. So I'm no big Baker Mayfield fan either, as far as, I think he's pretty overrated as far as the attention he gets. But they have had some very tough weather conditions this year, so can't put it all on him right now.
It affects both teams, and it makes everybody a mutter, and it holds down the scores. And, God bless the running back that stepped out of bounds at the 1 yard line. Apparently the analytics are alive in Cleveland. I guess I believe in scoring the ball, but the analytics are alive in Cleveland as far as I'm concerned. Let's talk about Thursday night. We've got a game that, you can always count on that Raiders defense to provide the opposition scoring some fantasy points. And then from an offensive side, the Raiders are much better than they've been in past years. Carr threw two picks yesterday, but he also threw two touchdowns. That's a fascinating way to start the week in what we're facing Thursday night. If you have anyone on the Chargers, Do you start them all? Can you know, would you play Hunter Henry over TJ Hawkinson? It's like a no-brainer. It's like you get them all out there. Is that right?
You would think so. I like TJ Hawkinson a lot. It seems like that's the only thing Detroit has really going for him at this moment. But yeah, no, I think you start everybody except defenses in that game, both ways.
On the it's been very interesting to watch rookies this year. We have historically, and I think it has something to do with training camp, because a rookie comes to training camp and he's got to prove he belongs, and he's got to get the mental aspect of the game handled, and he's got to advance through the click of the NFL. Rookies are accepted into the league and accepted in the locker rooms, but a lot of these guys got to earn their way, with the group. They got to earn the respect. And this is on, this is about skill position players. It's in any unit, from special teams to defensive secondary, and linebackers. It's all like that. So you take the rookie. Normally, about this time, they start to hit the wall. It's a long season. Their bodies are beat up a little bit. They only played 11 games in college with a preseason. We would already be on game 16 or 17. The elements are working against, and the competition's working against. And some of the rookies hit the wall. Now, this time of the year, we're seeing rookies just explode. And it's so cool. It's very, very exciting. Henry Ruggs, for instance, with the Raiders, exploding. Pittman, really getting it with Rivers, really making Rivers look. He dropped a pass, dropped a little slant pass. It was a sure touchdown this week. Pittman at Indianapolis coming together. The list is endless, where you used to sometimes say, I don't know, that I'm going to start this rookie. I might want to start a more dependable player. I say get the young players in the lineup and play them, Sean.
I couldn't agree more. All the teams that I had to make moves, I'm relying, the ones I'm doing well in, I'm relying heavily on rookies. That auction league we talked about earlier, I started Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I started Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, and that's a lot of young guys to depend on. Not to mention, I went with Drew Lock at quarterback over Ben Roethlisberger. So I mean, I'm
There you go.
really
That's a
relying on
smart one.
rookies.
Ayuk, 10 receptions, close to 120 yards yesterday. Jefferson had a tough game, had a good start, then had a tough game. Sometimes you get lucky. I joined Balky on the High Stakes Fantasy Football podcast this week. I told listeners they could once again count on McKissick if they had to, and he the sub game receiving the ball. He rushed the ball very well. He still can't get that elusive touchdown that he needs. We talked about Miles Sanders, and I just did not think that Miles Sanders could have a game, but sometimes you need that one play. And Miles Sanders had that big 80-yard touchdown run. He scored a touchdown later in the game. Rest of the game, he's kind of like what I expected, 13 rushes for 33 yards.
That was a tough
You know, you want to have a guy that you just want to have a guy that can break loose and have him be on your roster. Who do you see in Thursday night's game that could be that guy? I mean, can you see Waller toasting that San Diego or San Diego? There, I did it.
it.
That Los Angeles Charger defense. Can you see Carr tuning up five touchdowns? On the other side of the ball, it's real easy to imagine. We just got Paul Gunther just got fired with the Raiders, and the defense to be in a mess out there, a continued mess. It's real easy to imagine Keenan Allen catching everything that's thrown in this direction. What do you see for Thursday night? Who's the guy that can really, really move you up the board Thursday night?
Well, I mean, the easiest way to attack the Raiders all year has been running the ball. So
Yeah,
I
true.
would think Austin Eckler is in for a big game, long as he's healthy. Like you said, he may have had some sort of injury towards the end of the game yesterday, I saw where Anthony Lynn said Keenan Allen was dealing with some kind of soreness. He didn't specify what kind of soreness, but he did say soreness yesterday coming down the stretch. So provided those guys are healthy, I mean, any of those guys, I mean, Herbert could have a huge game. Waller, of course, is a time bomb waiting to go off at any time.
Right.
Yeah. There's even Nelson Aguilar, who's been very consistent this year. You know, that's another guy that could have a nice game.
100 yards for Aguilar, 60-ish yards rushing, or maybe a little more, on 15 carries from Austin Eckler, but 9 catches. Yeah. So he had his traditional Austin Eckler game. It's just the reason you drafted Eckler and hung on to him. You know, our system does not allow – it's a certain number of players, 20, 24 players, that if someone drops, they don't go into the free agency system because you just shut that player down to protect against collusion. That was the case with Austin Eckler this year. Over 47 divisions, he got dropped about 3 times. And if those guys are still around today, they're shaking their head as of what they're doing. Okay, so we're in a situation where every time we want to think we can write someone off, you can't do it in this game. You know, I really thought that Rivers had so disconnected from T.Y. Hilton that and I kept Hilton on the roster.
Yeah.
And I said, am I ever going to play him? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to play him against Houston. And he actually had a breakout game before Houston. And then he had a big game against Houston. And he gets Houston again. You know, T.Y. Hilton is one of those players that you got very little from throughout the year. And now you're getting a floor of 20. And he is a successful wide receiver. And he gets it 2 weeks left in his season, his fantasy season. He gets the Texans again, which he owns the Texans. So who are some of the guys, Sean, that you know that just might – you feel that they might bring it home for you? You've got that number one spot in the auction. I know you work hard, carefully putting together an auction roster. Is there somebody on there that you're really looking for that you couldn't count on in the single-digit weeks, but now that we're in the double-digit weeks, you got a big grin on your face because you've got him on your roster.
Brandon Ayuk, without a doubt, my favorite rookie this year. He's got such a high floor. I mean, I don't have to worry about him scoring touchdowns. It'd be great if he ever did. But especially with Deebo Samuel, he gets hurt. I love Deebo Samuel, but he gets hurt all the time. So Ayuk is really their only weapon at this point. And, you know, besides their running game. But, I love this guy. I mean, I like the way he plays. He gets a ton of targets, seems to catch everything. He even runs the ball every now and then. So I like him a whole lot. And, you know, that's the guy that earlier in the year I definitely was not counting on. I was also high on Jefferson at, you know, the beginning of the year. So I spent a little bit of money on him at the draft. So I'm happy to have him. You know, those two guys probably are the guys that I'm getting a lot more out of than I thought. You know, and the other way I can look at it, I put Todd Gurley and, you know, like guys like DJ Moore are kind of in the discussion every week whether they're going to play or not.
You know, we had a question Friday night. A guy came in with an email question. Who do I start, Antonio Brown or Kiki Kuti? And I'm not aware of what Kuti did this weekend. I told him to start Antonio Brown.
I think Kuti got it started off really well. He got a touchdown early. I think he had like 2 catches for 24 yards and a touchdown, I believe.
Well, that's, you know, and then so he outscored Brown. But I looked at the ceiling with what Brown could possibly do against Minnesota. And I said, you know what? He also had a bye week. He didn't hear any news, which means he didn't get in any.
Right.
He didn't get into away football situations. You know, see, you look at a player like that and you say, well, does he have a game in him? Does he have one of those Does he have one of those explosive games in him? You know, one of your players that you've always been a fan, we're talking about a lot of young guys here. Brown certainly is a young guy. Probably you've always been a big believer in Julio Jones. When he's on the field, he can certainly play. But you've always enjoyed A.J. Green. Just about the time you begin to write him off, he scores a touchdown in a losing effort against the Cowboys. You know, I don't see A.J. Green getting in your lineup and making the difference for you in the playoffs, but if somebody had to play him, he certainly did. A player that's going to be in your lineup because of where you drafted him is Ezekiel Elliott, unless you have tremendous depth at running back. But, you know, expectation level for Ezekiel Elliott's not very big right now.
No, I think the best thing for Ezekiel Elliott owners, honestly, would be if Dallas would shut him down. Because most of you guys probably have Tony Pollard, and you know, I think Pollard at this point would do better for you. I just don't think they're going to give Zeke a big workload at this stage. They're not playing for anything now. I mean, I just don't see it. And plus, I didn't really pick up on this, but I was watching the game a couple weeks ago, and Troy Aikman was talking about Zeke Elliott just not looking right. Say does not have the explosion that he normally does. So I really pay attention since then, and I do agree. I don't think Zeke's moving quite as well as he normally does, and I have to believe something's amiss more than just, you know, Dallas being terrible. I'm not going to say he's not giving his usual effort, or maybe he's got a little bit of an injury or what it is, but something's off with him. So I would rather him get put on reserve, honestly.
Well, and you would think that they might want to do that. They might want to give Pollard a chance to be the guy. Defense is a big thing in the KFFSC. You know, throw a shutout, get some significant points. We watched the Jets go to Seattle, one of the worst football defenses. They turned in a wonderful fantasy scoring day this weekend. The Washington Football Club, a wonderful scoring day. Indianapolis Colts, a terrific defense that also scored yesterday. I think I gave you a couple there that could rely on. Steelers defense. It's carried his first defense off the board, and it carried people around a long way, but without any offensive attack. And, you know, everybody's getting to learn that the punter, Barry, who the punter is from Pittsburgh now, everybody's got a good image of who that guy is. Because that ball's getting turned over. That defense is on the field a great deal. So what do you think defensively? If you have two on your playoff roster, anybody that plays the Jets looks pretty good to me.
Cleveland Browns have them week 16. That's why I've had Cleveland on my list for quite a while. and the Rams, I believe the Rams have them next week. So I think they're Rams. And the Rams have been a very good defense as well. So, you know, that's going to be it.
The Rams have that potential to throw that shutout against this team.
Yeah.
You know, they have that potential to throw that shot. Hey, we're going to get McCaffrey back. Is it going to do anyone any good? He's coming back this
week.
Is it going to help anyone?
I would think all the good teams have Mike Davis. So, and now maybe if you have both of them, it'll be some good. You know, if Mike Davis scores 25, you can probably figure McCaffrey in the same game, given the same opportunity, is going to score more points than that. So, yes, that would help those owners. But for a lot of us that scarfed up Davis off the waiver wire, it's gonna hurt us because, you know, that takes away one of our main guys we count on and off.
Yes, if you've learned to lean on Davis, you've got something happening this next week.
Maybe. I have a hard time believing. They may bring him back again, but with all the problems he's had, you know, when he very first went down, that's why I went all in for Davis everywhere I could. I just believe it kind of reminds me of the David Johnson situation a few years ago you know, when he messed up his finger in the very first game of the year and could have came back about halfway through, but the Cardinals were already so bad, they just decided not, you know, they kept thinking up reasons for him not to come back. So we'll see. We'll see.
I think he's coming. I think that organization and what how they want to finish, I think they want to finish with him. Look forward to next year. It'd be interesting to get him back on that team. What does it do to Curtis Samuel?
Oh, it definitely hurts him. Yeah, he's kind of guy. I mean, he's still a good player, and you know, especially when their weapons are missing, though they use him in a variety of different ways. He becomes, you know, a running back option also, and trick play guy and all that kind of stuff. When McCaffrey's in there, you don't really need to do that. And more than likely, they'll get DJ Moore back next week too. So, you know, that's two weapons they have back that takes away from Curtis Samuel. So, you know, this week was probably the week that if you were going to play Samuel, next week will be a tough decision.
Yeah. And you were rewarded. You know, Robbie Anderson stays active in that. What a great find he's been. When's the last time you drafted a receiver in the 15th round, 14th round, played him every week, you know? And he's been an every week start for me and a really wonderful thing. Okay. You want to have players on teams that are winning at this time of year, I think. Yesterday, Arizona very, very much had to get a win, and they went exactly to their stud receiver. Hopkins, a perfect example of why fantasy players invest in stud players very, very early. But Hopkins has put up terrific fantasy day yesterday. So you're in this situation. You know, it's a big, big help to have players that have something to play for. You know, even though we just talked about the Raiders and the Chargers, and not a lot to play for either team. If the Raiders think they're going to do anything in the playoffs, they're largely confused about that. So I'll get to my final question. I have been on the Rams for the entirety of the year. That has been my team that I liked. There were some things I saw in the HBO show that made me cringe a little bit, but, you know, I saw a running game, I saw a defense, and I saw a quarterback that I thought would get better. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. But all in all, that's a team in the NFC that I'm all in for. And all of a sudden, it looks like the Saints have become a lesser team. So that's what I see in the NFC. Tell me what you're seeing in the AFC. You know, I'll preface that by saying it's very, very evident the Pittsburgh Steelers got a lot of problems. So who do you see really stepping
up? Well, I mean, the AFC's been the same thing to me all year. Kansas City's just in a whole nother league. If you take Kansas City away, the rest of it's really competitive. But Kansas City is – I would make Kansas City a 6 or 7 point favorite over any of those teams on a neutral site. I just think they're that much better. When they want to play, when they're engaged, they're just unstoppable, and they really are. Their defense is – there's just no answer for it at this point, I don't think. You know, Baltimore
– The combination of quarterback –
yeah,
coach. I love to look at quarterback and coach, and when you do that, that combination is just beautifully impressive. So, do you see? And I guess we'd have to look at the way it would all break down. But do you see a Buffalo, Kansas City? You see any way that Buffalo can get past them?
No, I don't. I mean, I wish I could think of some, you know, creative way to not get Kansas City in the Super Bowl, because I hate to play favors and I hate to take the easy pick, but I just don't see it. I mean, look at yesterday. Yesterday, Mahomes threw three picks. They clearly were, you know, not particularly up for that game. But still, I never really felt like Miami was in the game. And Miami's a pretty good team. I mean, it's not like they were a scrub team. So, you know, if they were beatable yesterday, and I'm surprised they've lost.
You know, I like about that team is when the wheels come off, when they're trailing big, when they're having problems, they don't go to the sidelines and freak out. You know, they don't start pointing the fingers. They just say, okay, you know, so they're never out of it. So if things go wrong for them, yeah, well, okay. You know, it's a four-quarter game. We'll get back in it. You know, they did it in the Super Bowl. They did it in the playoffs. It's hard to play a team that doesn't think they can be beaten. And, you know, I took Travis Kelce as a sixth pick in the first round. I passed over Alvin Kamara. That team did well in the FFPC for me because, hey, I have a wide receiver. I'll call him that. He's a tight end. He leads all receivers in receiving yards right now, 1,250 yards. He's in a tight end premium league, 1.5 points per reception. For most of the season, I felt, you know, I probably didn't do the right thing. You know, now that we're in crunch time, I'm pretty happy with my decision. You know, if you listen to Sean Ligon and do the things that he suggests to do, you're going to think that you did the right decision too. You want to let's see if schedules allow us to get together Thursday. Maybe we can talk about some of our people that have stacked Mahomes and Kelce, Mahomes and Hill, to see if anyone stacked Carr and Waller. I know I have. And let's see how Chad Schroeder, who is now – who's dropped from first to, I think, 30th, who has Herbert and Keenan Allen along with a murderer's row of wide receivers, if he can start the week on Thursday night crawling back to the number one position and trying to be a back-to-back champ. So a lot of things to – a lot of things to watch. Sean, continue good luck in that in that auction. It's about time we get another trophy with Sean Ligon's name on it.
So everybody keep making the right decisions. That's the hard thing this year is a lot of guys to choose from that are in the same scoring range, just trying to find those right matchups.
Find your matchup. Not all of them will be as easy as the Chargers and Raiders. Now watch that game. Well, now watch that game go 17-10. I don't think.
Yeah,
in the first quarter. That's first quarter score. All right. We'll see you soon. Thank you, Sean.